I have my cards for my talk. Three of them have words on them, and one of them is blank. And as I told you before, I shuffle the cards before I talk. So what happens is, essentially, I give the same talk each time, but in different order, and nobody knows. It's always a pleasure for me to be here. This is my church. I don't think there are very many rabbis who can say things like that. And this, of course, is a hallmark moment. Sometimes I think of Father's Day and Mother's Day and Grandparents' Day as an invention. I mean, it's not just Hallmark, of course. It's American greetings, and it's all kinds of other cards that are proliferating to allow us to mark the day. But there's a tendency to trivialize, you know, to kind of get into the hype of Father's Day. I do it most by looking at the sales of technology that says, here, it's Father's Day. And I was thinking of other things that we trivialize, and what I thought of right away was commandment number 5. I guess I've said enough. You know what commandment... Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about the Ten Commandments is that in the Bible itself, they appear twice. They appear in the book of Exodus and they're repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. They're never called commandments. They're called principles. They're referred to as the 10 principles or the 10 words, the 10 things. Later on, they get called commandments. But this number 5 is interesting. Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, honor your father and your mother, which is usually translated as obey what your parents say. Which is always a little bit confusing to many children, and I suppose a little reassuring to many parents, who can always turn to their kids and say, God said you're supposed to obey what I say. I mean, whoa. And the children thinking, or at least I remember I did, that can't be what God said. You know, if God did say that and mean it that way, a lot of us are in a lot of trouble. Sometimes I wonder who you think wrote that. You know, did a bunch of parents get together? But there's reason to believe that the principle, the fifth principle, might have some deeper meaning than obey what our father and mother says. There's a couple reasons that come to mind. One is, it's number 5 out of 10. It comes before don't murder. You know, I mean, exactly what's the wrecking of this? How do you get obey your parents before a more universal? The other is that traditionally, in Jewish tradition, the commandments are divided, the first 5 and the second 5. The first 5 are called matters dealing between a person, a human being, and the Creator. So between a man and a woman and God. And the second 5 are seen as between people, between men and women, between men and men and women. And you could look at them and they kind of divide in that way. Well, here you got the fifth one. And that's not in the column of between people. That's still in the column having to do with the divine. So what is this father business? I could say what is this mother business too, but this is Father's Day. And father energy is something that goes beyond gender. Father energy is something that gets expressed whether our body happens to be masculine or feminine. And father energy is the energy that helps create reality by affirming and confirming its nature. Father energy is the energy that looks and declares what's real. Now, it could be very powerful in terms of an earthly parent because it means looking at a child and declaring the integrity, the specialness, the truth, the authenticity in that child to be true, to be real. And for those of you who had fathers, well, probably most of you had fathers, but if you could imagine the messages you got from your father, you know, because our fathers and our mothers are representatives of a more universal energy, and some of that flows through them, some of it flows through us to our children. We wish it would flow more fully. We wish we would be awake more of the time. But how many of us had our fathers really see who we were and say that? Because the tendency is for all of us to look at our children and to look at others and think we know better than they what they should be and what they should do and what they should think. It gets illustrated for me with broccoli. I remember giving broccoli to my son and saying, "It tastes good." How do I know how it tastes? You know, I know how it tastes to me. I can say, I like this. See if you like it. But we don't quite, we have this tendency to want to project the world we would like onto each other. So one of the things about father energy is that it is incredibly powerful. It's incredibly powerful. And any power comes with a great responsibility. How do we use that power to affirm and confirm that which is true in another, that which is true in our world? When we confirm that which is beautiful and that which is good, we are conveying energies of blessing. And when we project from our own understanding and perceive that which is not good, that which is untrue, that's energies of curse. One strengthens the other and one weakens the other. That energy of conveying a message of how you should be, what you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to feel, can delay and sometimes derail a child's growth. And I know that all of us have had experiences of that, if not with our own biological father or parents, with others who had power, who declared certain truths about us that weren't our truth. And some of us carry those all our lives, and knowing somewhere that's not who I am. So I was thinking about a professional blesser and a professional curser. There are professionals. The first one noted in the Bible is a character named Bilam. I don't know if you remember the story. It's a great, for those of us who like Bible stories, it's a great story. It's in the book of Numbers. Here we are, we're wandering across the wilderness, 2700 years ago. And the legend, at least, is we are a sizable community. Whether that is historically true or not is kind of irrelevant. This is the story. The Moabites, as we approached their territory, the king of Moab was named Balak, got afraid, and he felt that his people, the Moabites, would not be able to turn us away, and he felt they were in danger. And you can think, the fact is, just as today, the real issue in that part of the world is water. So if you got a whole bunch of people coming in and they're going to start taking your water, that's dangerous. So he wanted to be able to defeat the Israelites, and he felt his only chance was to hire a professional curser. This has nothing to do with computers. Was to hire a professional curser and have him pronounce a curse on the people. A professional curser is also a professional blesser, and you could imagine. This is like the prototype of the father energy. A professional father who carries such energy about him that whomever he blesses is blessed. Everybody around and the person themselves goes yes. And whomever he curses, the person themselves and everybody around says yes. So Balak sends to Bilam. He sends emissaries inviting him to come and curse the people Israel. And he offers him jewels and gold. And Bilam says to the messengers who came, let me go consult, go into meditation, do whatever rituals he does, and I'll tell you whether I can go with you. And he does that, and he comes out and says, I can't go. It's not. The energies of curse aren't right. So the messengers go back to Balak, who is not pleased at all. He ups the ante. They go back. They offer Bilam more. He consults again. He says, I still can't do it. The agents go back to Balak, who raises the ante and even more, so that when they come for the third time, it's an offer Bilam cannot refuse. And he does not go into meditation, and he does not do his ritual, and he just says, I'll go with you. And then you get this remarkable story where he's going with the guys, and he's riding on his donkey. The Bible calls it his ass, but it's a peculiar thing to talk about. So I'm going to talk about his donkey. He's riding on his donkey, and all of a sudden the donkey goes astray from the path, and he pulls him back onto the path. Then they walk through a vineyard, with the vines growing on each side, and the donkey squishes his leg against one of the walls of the vineyard. And Bilam is getting a little irritated with this animal. And finally, they go a little bit longer, the donkey sits down under him. And Bilam starts whipping the donkey with a stick. Come on, get going, get going. Donkey turns around and says, why are you hitting me? Which is very interesting because the donkey is one of three animals in the Bible who talks. You know who the other two are? The serpent in the garden, and human beings. I had you on that one. Right? So donkey says, what are you doing? Haven't I been a good donkey for you for years? Yes, says Bilam. But what are you doing? The donkey says, open your eyes. And Bilam looks up, and there's an angel in the path holding a big sword. And the donkey sees the angel and sees the danger and has been keeping Bilam from reaching that sword. And Bilam says, uh-oh. So he makes a commitment there. He says, okay, I will continue on to Balak. I will continue on to the country of the Moabites, but I will only speak that which awakens truthfully for me. So he goes up. They're on the hills overlooking the Israelites, and the king, Balak, says to him, here, curse those people. And Bilam goes into his meditation, and he goes into his ritual, and he comes out, and he says, I can't curse them. Balak gets upset. Moves to another area. Look at him from this vantage point. See? Curse them. You know, say how weak they are. They're like nothing, so that the energy of the Moabites will be uplifted and they'll be able to defeat them. Bilam goes through his ritual, comes out, again says, I can't curse them. Balak tries one more time. One more time, Bilam comes out. Bilam is standing on the hill looking at the Israelites, and he pronounces words not of curse, but of blessing. In fact, some of the words he pronounces have made their way into the daily worship service in the Jewish tradition. He looks down and says, Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov, how good are your tents, O Jacob, Mishkanotecha Yisrael, your dwelling places, Israel. And of course, Jacob is the outer. So your tents is your outer dwelling places, and Mishkanotecha is the inside. You know the word Shekhinah. Shekhinah is, in Jewish tradition, the indwelling presence of God. Shechan means to dwell. The inner part is called Israel. I mean, the sense in the Bible at that point, the inner part of everybody is called Israel. Yisrael, the part that persists for God, the part that stands for God. The Moabites didn't win. But I think about that story. I think about that story because the energies of blessing, the energies of blessing spoken through the Father consciousness that is within us all, is in fact the natural energies that rise within us when we are not dominated by our self-centered needs for personal gratification. When we are not projecting our own sense of how another should be onto them and trusting that each person, each individual has within them the resources, the truths, the path, and the way that is uniquely theirs, and that's what needs to be brought out. And the truest function of the Father energy is to seek that and to affirm that and to confirm that. It feels good to bless. I mean, certainly it feels good to be blessed. It feels good to be seen. It feels good to be recognized. It feels good to be affirmed. It feels good to be confirmed. But it is such a gift to be able to provide that for our friends, for our partners, for our children, for our parents, for all in our world. To go beyond that limiting comparative ego function and to know that within everyone, within every being, is an integrity and an authenticity that contributes naturally to the healing of that which needs to be healed in human relationships and in the world. And to seek that out, to see that, to celebrate that, to affirm that, and to confirm that. That, for me, is what this day calls to mind. That, for me, is what this day promises. Remember. Remember. So that we can all celebrate and, in fact, say to all others, whether you're wearing the body of a man or a woman, Happy Father's Day. Use that energy well. Use that energy for good. Use that energy to affirm that which is the very highest and finest within you and within every being you meet.